Jesus. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and way. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and way. Heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and way.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, Jesus. You can be seated if you wish. The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Oh, sing it.
How great is our God. Would you sing with me? How great is our about us. Age to age, he said.
To thee, how great
mais, oh, mais veio o God to thee.
Hallelujah. Here we shout unto God with a voice of triumph. There's going to come a day when God himself is going to return that with a shout for himself, for us, when he returns. Brother Al, I'm a little excited today because church already begun. We're not waiting until 11 o'clock hour. Church already started here up at the altar when people were praying. God was preparing our hearts before we even got here today. God's just got something amazing for every one of us here today. I'm excited about it. It's okay. I believe we do have expectation. I do believe that people do come to church expecting something to happen. They expect God to do something. They're anticipating something. Why would we get together just to get together? God, he's going to do something. I'm expecting it. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know what part of the service is going to happen. I don't know. It could happen when we're praying before the service starts. I don't know. But God's going to do something. There's going to be a breakthrough. We're just going to go through our routine. It's going to seem monotonous at times. All of a sudden, God's going to show up. We're going to walk out of here like Zacharias when he walked out of the temple, speechless. Only thing we'll be able to say is you had to be there. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity every Sunday to be a part of something amazing. In Jesus' name. Brother Wells started a new series and a lesson last week, and it was the continuation of it. It's just entitled Jesus Saves, and I'm going to read the text, and it's in Acts 16, 11 through 15. It says, therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which were resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful unto the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You could be seated at this time. There's a story of a modern-day Lydia. The Lord called Sharon Croswell to serve him by starting a church in Big Sandy, Tennessee. Like Lydia, whose house church began with a prayer meeting by the river, Sharon probably never realized when she responded to the Lord that he would use her to impact so many people. Pioneer minister Beulah Davis of Ludington, Michigan, influenced Sister Croswell by winning her to the Lord and teaching her the Word of God. Later, to her surprise, the Lord called Sister Croswell to start a new work in a community without a truth-preaching church. God confirmed that call through her presbyter. Starting first in a firehouse meeting room, the church grew until it needed its own building. Within 3 years, they outgrew that first building. In Herrick, Illinois today, there's a picture of a lady named Eva Hunt in the front of Christ Tabernacle, who started one of about 10 churches in the area. When Bishop Sui got there, he's there today, the church ran about 20 people in a small building about the size of a two-car garage. Today in the city of Herrick, this population of 400, the church today runs an average of 600 people. It was one person just sharing the Word of God with somebody else. Pastor Sharon Croswell says, God is a gentleman who will open the door for you. When you have a heart to reach lost souls, the Lord will help you find them. One person's burden was advancing the kingdom of God in such a mighty way. And that's just one example, actually two examples. And there's I know that there's people in this church here today. Brother Al, you have a huge burden for souls. Brother Sister Grimms has a burden for souls. Sister Rose has a burden for children. And that's why we come here. We know that there's an expectation that God's going to do something more and greater in this place. With a burden for souls, we see that with one individual. But there's multiple individuals that are here today that have a burden for souls. And we're just, it's one of those days where we're going to see a breakthrough, Brother Al, like we've never seen before. That burden, that brokenness, that hurt, that pain, that anguish for lost souls is going to be so worth it. Why was I weeping? Why was I at the altar praying with my heart broken and bleeding out? It's gonna make sense someday. It's going to be worth it all someday. I am so looking forward to that. Your labor's not in vain. Your prayers are not in vain. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God desires everyone to be saved. He prefers that not anyone perish. Even those who test us at times and get underneath our skin, the ones that were out in the crowd that were saying to crucify him, that were in front of, while he was standing in front of Pilate, he didn't want them to be lost either. As we are instructed to share our story as well, but Paul asked the Romans, how shall they be saved without a preacher? We have the opportunity to hear the gospel here every Sunday, but not everybody has that opportunity. And it's up to us to share that with them in the workplace, our neighbors, co-workers, those ones that we just run into, the one that I was sitting next to that was hurt because her dad, she got news while she was on the mission field herself, and I had a connecting flight in Miami that her dad had a brain tumor and expecting only days to live. God, we don't know who our neighbor is going to be at that time. It's not just our physical neighbor on our address, but the people that God just puts us beside. Maybe it's at a checkout line. Maybe it's some broken mother that they can't afford the food that's going through the line, turn belt. There you go. God may lay down our heart to help pay for those groceries. We don't know, but they may open a door to things that we may be unaware of. But you know what? It's going to take an obedient faith, and it's going to take an obedient spirit to do things that God has called us to do. May we have a sense of spirit to do and to be obedient to the nudging that God gives us at certain times. If we allow and if we are willing, he is able, and God will send us to spiritually hungry people. Jonah is an example of how far God would go to get a message of salvation to a lost people. Jonah first refused that mission. He considered it a waste of time to preach to people that were God's, was Israel's enemy at that time. He didn't want to share with them about the a call to repentance because he didn't think that was going to be well received. And he didn't consider Nineveh to be a spiritually hungry people that were after God. But it wasn't up to Jonah to make that call. It was just up to him to be obedient, to have an obedient faith. Here's two things here. God opens hearts' doors, but it's us. He's doing his part. It's up to our part to have obedient faith. God, when God, we don't know what's going on in the backgrounds. We don't know what's going on with people. And I've told you before, you start praying for people, and certain words come out of your mouth. You're praying for names of people in the church and people that aren't actually here. You start naming those names. You don't know what God's doing at that time. There's going to be an appointed time when God's going to put you in contact with that person. And because God's working and opening the doors to those people, we can't see it. But while God opens the door like he did to Lydia, I have to have obedient faith to respond to that opening of God's heart's door to that particular individual, because we have no idea what that's going to do with the response to Lydia. Her whole household was baptized. She had such a hunger for God, she told the men, you get in here, I want you to stay in this house. I don't want you to go anywhere. May there be such a hunger for God in along the lines of this, that we hunger for God so much that we grab him by the hem of his garment and say, God, don't you go. We want you here. We don't want to have church without you. And as a matter of fact, if we don't feel you, and if you say, wait, we'll wait, I'm not going to do anything without your presence. I need you. I'm hungering and thirsting after you. You're going to fill this place. You're going to do something amazing.
Lord, but I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go of your promise. I'm not going to let go. I believe there's been a stirring and a shaking already in this place, and it's still resonating within individuals here today. It's something that's carrying over, some things that are happening in previous weeks that it's carrying over from one to the other, and it's a culmination of things. And God's doing and preparing our hearts and our minds, and it's going to be so amazing. Brother Kelm, we're going to be blown away. We're going to be in shock and awe. God is in the shock and awe business. In Jesus' name, our human nature limits God. But God says, I am able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can, above all that you could ask or think. You haven't processed this in your mind, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to blow your minds. Does anybody have expectation? If there's anything contagious in this place today, may there be something contagious of a spirit of expectation that God's going to do something. And then when it happens, you say, that's what I was talking about. I was talking exactly about that. This hasn't manifested yet, but it's going to manifest. And when it does, I want to say, Brother Killam, that's what I was talking about. I don't know. Maybe somebody's going to come up here and get baptized today. And I'll say, that's what I'm talking about. I'm expecting something like that. Maybe somebody's going to walk through the door that we've been praying for. God's been opening the heart of that person for some time. But there's people praying and standing in the gap. I'm expecting. God, the breakthrough's already happened. We just haven't seen it yet. Our expectation is, God, you've already done it. We just haven't seen it with our eyes yet. Have you ever prayed so earnestly for something? And I've done this where I've done a prayer walk in my house for multiple days. And on the seventh day of, you got to get this book, The Prayer Journey. It's a book that you can get at Pentecostal Publishing House, or you can get, I believe it's on Amazon. It's A Prayer Journey. If you have a burden for an individual, and you want to pray, or you just feel like your house is under attack, and you need to pray, I encourage you to get this book. And this is personally what happened to me. I would pray every day. I would pray over my house. I would open the closet doors of my house. I would go down on the basement of my house. I would go in my garage. I would walk around my house. And on the seventh day, I shouted when I left my house. I praised God because of what he did. I did not see the fruition of that for 2.5 months, but my faith said God did it. God already caused that breakthrough to happen. There is no faith if we're going to wait till we see it with these eyes. Our faith says God did it. Our faith says God restored. Our faith says God made something new in somebody's life. God revived in Jesus' name. I'm believing it. Hallelujah. This is a two-part thing where God does his part, and it's up to us to do our part. And we were talking a few weeks ago about these building blocks of faith. But the foundation of it all is, if we don't have faith, we have nothing to build these building blocks of our faith to. We have to have faith. That is foundational. We have the faith to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most everyone here has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And by faith, we were obedient. We had the obedient faith to be baptized in Jesus' name. But that doesn't stop there. We shouldn't go back and say, you know what? I had faith 32 years ago that I walked to the altar and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's great. But where is my faith taking me today? Where is it? Where is my walk with God that he has a door prepared for me and open, and I haven't walked through it yet by faith? Where is my faith? It's not in these eyes. I'm going to be a follower of Christ. That means I'm going to have to trust him and totally depend upon him. Some of us have a faith mentality to where we will jump off the cliff if God tells us to do it. And others of us have a faith mentality of, I need a hard count, God, to about 3 before I take this jump. Does anybody have that? There's like 2 kinds of faith. Here's a blind faith. I'm going to run and jump off the cliff. I don't know how I'm going to get to land perfectly before I break that water when I go cliff diving, because God's called me to take a leap of faith that I've never taken before. And I'm going to do this. Peter did this as a perfect example. God told him in a vision, he says, go and eat food that was considered by Jewish dietary laws wrong. And he told him multiple times, go and eat it. Because I said it's okay. Don't call something unclean that I have called clean. Cornelius is somebody that heard the voice of God, and he sent men from his house to go the very first time to go find Peter. He's at Simon the Tanner's house. Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, walked with Jesus himself, talked with him, was on Mount Transfiguration. He needed to be reminded three times, go, eat it, it's okay. Cornelius, not receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, was told one time by God, go get your men and go to Simon the Tanner's house and go get Peter and bring him back here. It took obedient faith on both parts. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need that hard count to three. Okay, Lord, one. Wow, that is a huge cliff. Gravity's going to do its thing when I take this step. I've never taken a step like that before. I'm totally out of my comfort zone. Cornelius is like, I'm ready to go. I'm both feet in. Get over there. Get this guy here right now. And Peter, and he's like many of us. Lord, are you sure? Are you really sure? Come on, Lord. Eat that? I wasn't raised to eat that. I'm not like them. I'm an Israelite. It's amazing what evolved when he exercised obedient faith. And I have to get this. When he went to Cornelius' house, he had no idea how many people were going to be in there when he walked in there. Cornelius called for Peter. Cornelius got confirmation. Peter got confirmation. They were both meeting at Cornelius' house. He had no idea what was going to happen when he walked through those doors and how many people were going to be there. And it says in Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, all them that which heard Peter's story. In verse 27, it says, he went in and found that there were many come together. Obedient faith opened the door to Cornelius' house, and it blew Peter's mind. Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to do? Lord, I need a hard count to three before I do it. But after he did do it, he didn't just walk into Cornelius' house. He walked into a house full of people, hungry for God. So hungry for God, when they received the word, when the Holy Ghost fell, they were all filled with his Spirit. This is what else had happened. In verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? There's not a doubt in my mind that obedient faith will produce a confidence that I could do all things through him. All I got to do is have obedient faith. I don't have to have the passion. Maybe you've been hit by the storms of life, and maybe your passion has taken a hit. But God is still saying, keep going, put one foot in front of the other. He's saying, just trust me, just have faith in me, just put that one foot in front of the other, because I have something greater for you. I've got something that's going to blow your mind, that's bigger than anybody else can imagine. You're not, when I work on people's hearts, I just want you to walk through the door, because you're expecting one thing, but I'm going to blow your mind and give you something so much greater. I'm expecting, I don't know exactly what it is, but when I see it, I'm going to say, that's it. And there's going to be more of that to come, because God is able to more than that. The Lord led Paul to spiritually hungry people in Philippi. It was while in the church of Antioch, they were fasting and praying, and God said to the men in Acts 13:2, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. After leaving Antioch, they made over five stops, one foot in front of the other. They didn't just make one stop. They made a total of five stops, advancing the kingdom of God. It was also Paul who said this. In 1 Corinthians
15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it is not a waste. It's something's going to happen. You may feel discouraged in the moment when you get the response you were looking for. But it is God who works on the heart of those individuals. You don't know what it's like. I remember walking out of services straight face, but when I got in my car, I literally wept for hours on the way home. You have no idea what the power of God is able to do to somebody but when you can't see them. God is doing a work. I'm a testimony that God is doing the work when you can't see it with your eyes. And Jesus saying, He's done it before, and he's going to do it again. He's going to keep on doing it. He's doing it right now. I'm expecting it. There's multiple people sitting at home today that are just torn to pieces. I remember feeling the presence of God. I remember hearing his voice. I need to get back into it. When people begin to worship God, I begin to lift them up. He says, I will draw men to me. He's going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be during the worship part. It's going to be during the praying part. But I know it's going to come right after the expectation part. I'm expecting, Brother Al. I'm expecting. Has anybody lost sleep expecting something to happen before it happens? That's a good thing to lose sleep over. God, you're going to do something. I'm expecting you to do something miraculous. I can't even sleep tonight. It's Saturday night. It's 2 in the morning. We got to get up in a few hours, but God, you're going to do something. I may be tired, but I'm going to come into the house of God because I'm expecting you to do something. My anticipation kept me awake at night. God, you're going to do something great in your house today. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas are moving from one town to the next. But the thing is, they didn't get from one town to the next. And God wasn't able to use them unless they went to that first town, unless they were first moving. There's a saying that you can't steer something that's not moving. God will help you. You just have to open your mouth and start talking. Here's a perfect example. Brother and Sister Spin, they're not here today. I started this out. This was on a Wednesday night when this happened. Friday, a guy picks me up to go check out a side job. First word thing that came out of my mouth regarding the situation, there was a lady about 10 to 8 that interrupted the service. I had to initiate something. I felt like I had to initiate something. Before the end of the conversation, I shared with him 6 personal stories of how God is an ever-present help in time of need. And he uses us individually to be that ever-present help in time of need to certain individuals. God used the church here to be the first responder before the ambulance showed up. God is ever-present help in time of need, and God has called us to be the original first responders before they came across the tracks in here. They take care of Sister Span. And it's going to happen again. Just be ready for it. Lord, pray, Lord, I want a sensitive spirit to know, Lord, when something like this happens, Lord, you're working on an individual, Lord. Lord, I want to be that willing vessel, Lord, for you to work through. I want to have obedient faith, Lord. Lord, give me the words you would have me to say, Lord. I just need to have that right heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Several years ago, a missionary in South America received a letter from a minister of a non-apostolic denomination in a remote part of the country where he knew there was no apostolic churches. The letter requested the missionary to come and baptize a pastor and his entire congregation. The missionary wrote back that he would gladly come, and he gave the date of his arrival. While on the journey, the missionary wondered how this minister became aware of him and the truth of baptism in Jesus' name. To his knowledge, there were no apostolic believers in the area of the country. Upon the missionary's arrival, the pastor showed him a tract entitled The Truth About Baptism that one of the congregants had picked up while visiting in the capital city. When the congregant returned home, he presented it to his pastor, who prayerfully studied it before sending a request to the missionary's address on the back of the tract. In this modern-day story, the missionary received his vision, sending him to people hungry for the truth in the form of a letter.
obedient faith. Obedient faith to walk in a situation to where not only does a pastor of a non-apostolic church want to be baptized, but the whole congregation, the whole house of the Lord is convert. You may think I'm just going to walk into the door of somebody's house or in somebody's situation, but as God who's already walked in that door and opened the heart of that door of that individual, he's just saying, put one foot in front of the other, have faith in me, and I will instruct you what to say and how to say it. I just need a sense of spirit to know not to, you know what, I'm not going to get it right all the time. I'm going to mess it up. I remember specific times when I was in the workplace, and there were times when, one time in particular, Brother Al, I was in a boom lift, one of those ones that kind of look like a crane, and you're in a basket, and you're harnessed up, and the conversation started going to what you, where do you go to church, what do you believe? And I was sharing it with him. He's not going anywhere. We're about 20 feet up in the air. We're harnessed in. We got a couple minutes here. And I told him, obey God's salvation plan about repentance, being baptized in Jesus' name, being filled with the Spirit. I even told him about a church in his area that's like over an hour and a half away from here. I remember carpooling with somebody. And he just out of nowhere, I didn't bring it up. He did. He says, what do you believe? It doesn't get any easier than that. I remember this, Sister Pat here. Where's she at? Pat. Okay. I remember at Sister Harmon's funeral, there's a classmate that I grew up with since grade school. He's a pastor of a church on the north side of town. When he came to the funeral here, he stood in the back. When I walked in, he never came and sat down. It was a few months later. He said, I never felt anything like that in my life. I told him, I said, Paul, there's more. God's working out. He goes, I got friends that speak in tongues. I said, Paul, there's more. Maybe that's all he could handle right now. Maybe that's all that he could digest. But it's precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. I don't know. I'm expecting advancing the kingdom of God one person at a time. You don't know the impact that you're going to have on one individual. Lydia, her whole house. What a hunger for God. That hunger is contagious. May there be a hunger for God and an expectation in the house of God with each other. Lord, don't let that die in us. God honors faithful worship, faithful worshipers. Many like Cornelius live commendable lives. Their faithfulness with giving ascend as a memorial before God. Their heart, God will open, and our obedient faith will open those doors. God gave us the keys to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven. Something it was removed, and something was replaced. And there was keys that were made when God came into every one of our lives for doors to be open in other people's lives. We can stand at this time. Acts 16:14, credits God with opening Lydia's heart to respond to the gospel. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. God is doing his part. God is opening hearts. I just need to have obedient faith and do my part. Lord, why is this person here? Why am I keep having an encounter with this individual? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How would you want me to say it? I just want to be that willing vessel. I want to have that obedient faith. Not going to get it right all the time. It's okay. I remember the first time I felt that nudging. I didn't always respond to it the right way, and I didn't always get it right the first time. But those are times where I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to go from there. I'm not going to say, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to say, you know what? Okay. I'll know what to do the next time. And we do have no idea how that person received what was given to them as God working through us. We may sound, we may think, man, we botched this up bad. But God is able to do something between when things leave our lips and enter that person's ears. God just, he's doing something miraculous. We can't see it with these eyes, but he's doing it. He's doing it in their hearts. I just got to have obedient faith. Hallelujah. He gave us the Spirit to empower us to be witnesses unto them. When we are sensitive to the leading of his Spirit, he will direct us to hungry hearts. When asked the secret to his success, the late evangelist Billy Cole replied that he prayed and asked God where he needed to be, and then he just showed up. His obedient faith has seen 100,000 plus revival in attendance in Ethiopia. Philip's obedient faith put him in a chariot to give an Ethiopian eunuch understanding. God opens hearts, and our obedient faith will open doors. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. He's an heir.